You know what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm reluctantly Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren. And now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material. Because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some damn fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. How's business, Shelley?
Very good. Very busy. I know that I saw lots and lots of cars over at the coin shop, and they bought a huge estate this week.
Ooh, big estate.
So they have been working those coins
up. Estate of a collector. Estate of a pretty serious collector. Mm-hmm. That's a good time to get by Wright's Coin Shop, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. That's just a couple miles out, Sweeten Creek, off of the exit 51. There, across from Retro Lube. No plug intended there, but good neighbors anyway.
They're very good neighbors.
And I like to suggest that if you're in the area getting your oil changed, you definitely ought to walk across the street to Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. You said last week that at Nevermore you've got some new candles.
I do. Great new candles. This fabulous company. 3 generations of witches. They own it. They run it. They have this slogan, we pour our candles when the moon is right. So it's every candle is its own little spell. It's fabulous. I love it.
Prepared with love in New Orleans. That was just one of the contacts you made on your recent tour of the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
So you're bringing back some bayou mojo to the mountains of North Carolina.
Yep.
Yeah, I dare say no place else like Nevermore Mystical Arts on Sweeten Creek Road, right next to the coin shop, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. And if folks want to set something up to get a coin collection appraised, or maybe they have a small estate. Doesn't have to be a grand collection on any scale, but let's say your mother or father passed away and they had a shoebox full of coins.
Right.
You really don't know a lot about the stuff. You want to have an honest estimate of what they're worth, maybe even an offer to buy. People could call down there and set something up, right? What's the telephone number at Wright's Coin Shop?
The phone number is 828-298-5402.
298-5402.
Yes.
And 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. Wright's Coin Shop, well-respected, not fly-by-night. You hear these ads and everything about, we'll buy your gold and blah, blah, blah. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't. This is our 44th year in business.
Yeah, you don't stay in business in a small town like that. Well, Asheville's growing, of course.
I still think
of Asheville as a town in the grand scheme of things.
Is.
But when everybody knows you, you don't get away mistreating customers or ripping people off. You just don't stay in business.
No, you don't.
So the fact that Wright's Coin Shop's been open, family-owned, 44 years, shows that they do a fair trade with people.
Definitely.
So you're going to want in get in there and see what they've got to offer, or if you have coins to sell, Wright's Coin Shop are the folks to deal with right here, 44 years in Asheville.
And then walk next door and see me.
And then slip over there and see Miss Shelley Wright, investigator Shelley Wright. Josh and I had a nice chat last Sunday night on Fate Magazine Radio, and we were chatting about you. We kind of retold the OH seance story. And I told Josh that, you know, as you're writing the column for the Daily Planet, have you got a new column in the Daily Planet?
I do. April is out, and it is part one of Haunted New Orleans.
Very cool.
And so May, probably around May the 1st or so, May will be out, and it will be part two. And there might be a part three of Haunted New Orleans. I'm not sure.
So now would be the time to get out to the newsstand and grab up that April issue of Daily Planet before the May issue replaces it. So if you grab the April issue and the May issue next week, then you'll have both parts of Shelley Wright's column on Haunted New Orleans.
Exactly. And April is funny. May is funnier. So you might not want to be drinking any beer or wine or anything when you read May. Wouldn't want anything to come out your nose because you started laughing. It's fun. I believe the Vampire Speakeasy is in May. So
good stuff. Shelley writes a column dealing with the paranormal in the Daily Planet, which is a free paper, free monthly paper here around Asheville. And you folks know where to find it. Actually, I looked all over for it and just was not looking in the right place. And then I stopped at the gas station at the QP station out in Reynolds. Lo and behold, over next to the vending machines at the QP station in Reynolds, there's a Daily Planet. I mean, they're all over the place, but they're just maybe not in the most predictable places. And that's nice because Shelley Wright is very unpredictable herself sometimes. Is that's a compliment.
I mean that as a compliment. Thank you.
So anyway, Josh and I were talking about Shelley and Josh saying, you know, Shelley was very humble. We knew she had gifts, that she was sensitive to things. And when I needed an opinion from someone that was a good intuition, I would call Shelley up or meet with Shelley to ask her things, you know, that I thought that an intuitive could provide some insight. He said, I've recognized Shelley's gifts for years, but she was too humble to really label herself. But I told Josh on Fate Magazine Radio the other week that I'm more comfortable calling Shelley a psychic medium or a spirit medium, because over and over, you and I are... we're kind of like doing our hillbilly version of the Dead Files here. Shelley is communicating with spirits that I have then been able to confirm had real identities that jibe with like the outline, the psychic impression and outline that you're getting. It lines up with the facts.
Emily was our litmus test. Emily.
That was excellent. When you met the little girl named Emily, and then, bam, I was able to provide the name of a child named Emily on that property. Against all odds. I didn't really expect to do it. Josh has tried to get me to confirm the suspicions of people who called themselves psychic sensitives before, and if it wasn't there, it wasn't there, and I've just told him so. He said that there were some people out in North Asheville, and the woman swore that the house was on an old Indian burial ground, or that there were graves underneath the house or something like that. And I did the research, and I told Josh, I'm not buying it. I just don't think so. But the things that Shelley has sort of tapped into, and I've known you for a few years now, Shelley. The stories that you tell that are just kind of pulled from the ether, they check out. I mean, and that, I mean, you have to give yourself credit at some point. You have to feel like these spirits trust you. And Shelley is, yeah, you can trust your, your coin business to Wright's Coin, and you can trust your spirit contacts to Shelley at Nevermore Mystical Arts. Anyway, what a seg. To a leftover story from last week. I'm just going to take a breath and take a break and say that this in no way reflects on investigator Shelley Wright, but the Texas butthole tickling bandit has finally been caught and bums unclench everywhere. With a name like the Texas butthole tickling bandit, you can imagine exactly what this particular felon gets up to when he enters your whole home. Thank the Lord then that this anal attacker has been apprehended by police, identified and caught by police in the early hours of the January 5th. People are now sleeping with bums unclenched for the first time in a while. Managing to elude capture for 3 weeks, he has given male residents in the area a real tough time with his spate of assaults, which totaled a dozen homes by the time he was stopped. His M.O. was breaking into homes of single men in the middle of the night and at gunpoint, making men drop their PJs while he tickled their buttholes with a feather. He would leave them with their hands wire-tied behind their backs and flee into the night. At least 5 reports of the attacks are on record. Police fear many others were unwilling to come forward and admit the attacks. Wow. Not funny, in my opinion. I mean, a sexual assault. To me, the Texas butthole tickling bandit, you gotta say he earned the nickname. Sam, butthole tickling remind you of anything? Your sweet new bass guitar?
Yeah, you know, we were talking before in between segments, and you were asking about this bass that I got off of Craigslist, and I was telling you, that's how I tell if I'm in the right key or how loud, like, because on stage you get a lot of instruments playing loud. Even though you're standing in front of a huge wall of speakers, you can't necessarily hear them because you're standing really close to them. Yeah, it goes into waves and whatnot. So the best way to tell is how much your butthole is actually tingling, not tickling, but tingling. You're looking for a tingling. And that's from the bass waves going through your feet and the stage, up your legs, into the BH. And and you'll find that resonant frequency you're looking for. And I from the first note, I was like, yes, this is good, because I could feel it.
And if you weren't satisfied by the bass, then the seller from Craigslist had guaranteed that he would show up at your home and tickle you with a feather.
No, not for that much.
No, not for 70 bucks.
80.
It was 80. 80. That's right. I keep getting it wrong.
It's a hell of a deal.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. We're just getting started. It's Dark 30, if you hadn't noticed. That means we're going to be dealing with some unsavory, unseemly.
No unsavory there.
Downright unwholesome stuff. But not, no. Being tickled.
It's a musical term.
Being tickled by the resonant frequencies of a good bass, electric bass. Nothing unsavory about that.
Oh.
We'll be right back. Speaking of strange. Dark 30, and we love the Ramones. Hope you do, too.
I'm wearing a Joey Ramone t-shirt.
Yay! We need a Cam in here occasionally. Would have been nice to have a Cam in here with Stevie Tombstone tonight. That was heartfelt. Good chatting with Stevie. He's just a genuine
good guy. Good fella.
Good guy. Breathalyzer officer fired after showing up for work drunk. It's the Dark 30 hour. Of course, this may not be the worst you'll hear. I can almost promise you this will not be the worst you'll hear tonight. But this breathalyzer officer in Austin, Texas, there's your Stevie Tombstone connection. Stevie is Asheville via Austin. Austin police officer whose duties included administering breathalyzer tests has been fired after a self-administered test indicated he had reported for work drunk. His supervising sergeant is suspended for 60 days. A memo released Tuesday showed the officer reported for his shift one day last October, then drove his patrol car to the Travis County Jail for a self-administered breathalyzer test required by his certification. The officer drove back to his substation and gave the results to his supervisor, who told him to stay out of service until sober. A state police scientist said an extrapolation of the results meant the officer reported to work with a blood alcohol concentration above the state limit for drivers of 0.08%. Yeah, showing up for work legally drunk.
I did that for like well over a decade.
But not as a breathalyzer officer.
No, okay. That's true.
Okay.
Well, I mean, to be fair, maybe that breathalyzer officer had a drinking problem and that was his medicine. And if he didn't have his alcohol, he would have been way more messed up than if he did. So you have to take into consideration that just because he was over the legal limit, it's not necessarily, I mean, he could have been totally, he might have had to get three times legal limit just to get right. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. But
yes,
yeah.
As a breathalyzer officer, yes.
Let's see. I feel like we might need to be on standby with that that bell there, Shelley. What are we going to do here?
Belly.
Did you say boobies?
I might have said boobies. Can I say boobies?
You can say that.
That's clear.
So there's something a whole lot worse in there.
Orlando, a woman was arrested at the happiest place on earth Wednesday in a not-so-happy encounter with a group of high school-age girls. A 40-year-old woman was charged with child abuse after deputies say she began to strangle one of the girls during the Magic Kingdom fireworks display. According to the Orange County Sheriff's Office, the woman was attending the fireworks show with her family, sitting directly behind the group of teenagers. The arrest report says that as the fireworks began, everyone seated began standing up. The victim told deputies that her group began to stand because their view was obstructed, and the woman became aggravated with the group because she couldn't see the fireworks. The victim and her group began to walk away and offered their spot to the woman, according to deputies. The woman later walked toward the group, visibly upset and angry. The victim said in the report, "She wrapped both of her hands around my neck and began squeezing." Yeah, sounds like strangling to me. The report also says the woman pushed the girl's head to the ground, saying, "You don't want to mess with me in my Disney vacation," just as the girl began to scream. The woman told the girl that when she was dead, she would not be blocking her view of any more fireworks ever. The girl's friend grabbed a Walt Disney World employee and reported the incident. The woman was taken to the security office at the Magic Kingdom and was later arrested. Aren't the fireworks kind of like up in the sky?
I was thinking. Weird. How can you
counterpoint? Have you never wanted to strangle a teenager?
Just for the heck of it. Yeah.
They are awful. They're the worst. I'm sure this lady had a great reason. I mean,
they had done something. I'm sure there's more to the story. I'm sure they had done something to punch her buttons.
Counterpoint 2.0, Vance, as tall guys, you know, we have to face this world all the time. You go to a show, you want to enjoy it, and I'm like, hey, excuse me, I'm sorry that God made me this way.
I do want to be respectful of some people in, like you say, at a concert,
etc. I understand. I am a blocker of views.
Here's the thing that was cool when I was younger and single at rock shows. Being tall, if I ended up in the crowd by like a short girl, I could always offer her to like piggyback.
Yeah, now my back is so shot. Like, I'd be like, you just deal with it, Missy.
Piggybacking some girls
Bonnaroo,
at the concert.
100,000 people in a field. I'm talking like Paul McCartney's the size of a flea, an ant. And I mean, we're not close. We're way back. And out of nowhere behind me, I hear somebody like, of course, got to stand right behind the tall guy. I was like, are you kidding? There's 100,000 people here. I'm, oh my goodness.
Find one of them to stand by.
It's discrimination. I'm reminded of standing in the rain at a Flaming Lips concert in Orlando circa 95 with some teenage girl on my back. And
you strangled her because she deserved it.
Yeah. I mean, it was delayed and we were just standing there in the rain. It was one of the most miserable moments, but you know, it's all good. It's not much of a story, but I just told
that
way, it.
That's the story?
That's pretty much it.
You know, I was at a Flaming Lips concert in the rain.
At a Flaming Lips concert, outdoor show. Flaming
it was
Lips,
miserable.
Orlando. Flaming Lips are overrated.
Yeah, they
but
are.
I also I did want to kind of drop, you know, the suggestion that I was at a Flaming Lips concert just to kind of be cool.
So
there's this,
cool.
There's this thing going on Facebook right now where people are listing 10 concerts and one of them is a lie. Have you seen that?
Yes.
It's kind of fun. I've kind of felt like doing it because I like to brag.
Don't
I've seen
resist.
Some pretty darn I've seen some pretty darn impressive concerts in my day.
Don't be that guy.
I saw Johnny Cash. Anyway, a lot of people saw Johnny Cash, you know it. Millions of people saw Johnny Cash.
I never saw Johnny Cash.
I saw him on the
American you know, the sort of revival, the Rick Rubin American Recordings revival. At Disney World, So this
really?
Is all kind of tying together.
And the Flaming Lips were in Orlando?
Yeah, this is all kind of tying together. Very strange. Sam, you got anything over there to make Shelley ring the bell by chance?
I think that... No, that's not this story.
That's this story.
Not that one. If you're speaking of this story, two students from a Palm Bay... Florida high school were sent to the hospital after police say they ate pot brownies at a baseball game. Police arrested a father they say gave his daughter the brownies to sell. Police say a 38-year-old father made the pot brownies at home, then gave them to his teenage daughter to sell. Sounds like a good plan off the top of the head. You know, you got to know your market. Now, the students bought them from the Bayside High. That's where Zach Morris and A.C. Slater went to school, Bayside. At the baseball game, after eating the brownies, one of them became unresponsive and was rushed to the hospital. If you've ever had edibles, you know that they hit you hard. And they last a long time. A whole different thing than smoking. Yeah, the edibles,
I didn't know that.
Oh, the edibles are serious. You can, you're just like, oh my God, I wish I hadn't done that. They discovered that dad was growing, cooking, and packing the brownies using other students at both high schools to distribute. I think that's a genius maneuver. He had an extremely large distribution network built around the students. He and his daughter and five students arrested in the case. They found a dozen pot plants in his garage, hundreds of grams of dried cannabis and edibles. Neighbors said they knew something was going on in there, and it always smelled a little skunky around the house. And a neighbor said, that ain't for kids. Heck, there's other ways to make a living. Heck. The dad faces a host of drug charges, including delivery of a controlled substance to a minor. I'm sure the kid that went to the hospital is probably fine. Buck up, Buttercup.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Yeah, we need to pull out the Shelly sound clip.
That's right.
I am recording on that machine right now. I can't do two things at once.
How can you be in two places at once? A new Pentagon position devoted strictly to maintaining the U.S. Air Force's ability to operate and fight in space was announced. The position was part of several changes the Air Force is making to ensure the U.S. can grow its military capabilities outside of Earth's atmosphere.
Yay.
The announcements came as the Air Force was pushing for an increased focus on defending U.S. space assets, which include over 1,400 satellites orbiting the planet. 1,400 satellites, that's impressive.
A lot.
The time has come to adapt our organization and management structure to reflect the reality that space is a joint warfighting domain. Acting Secretary of the Air Force, Lisa Disbro, said.
Hey, you know what's strange? The song is playing right now. It's called Basic Space.
Wow.
That was not planned.
Psychic powers. It's a synchronicity. So often attributed to speaking of strange, even in the dark 30 hour, even when we go lowbrow, we're not at war in space. I don't think we could say we're exactly at peace either, said the Vice Admiral.
Glad we're worrying about that as opposed to homelessness or hunger.
Yeah. We'll be right back. The dark 30 hour of speaking of strange, man pulls seven cars. Okay, it's the dark 30. You know what that means, right? Please, if you've just stumbled upon this humble broadcast and you don't know what dark 30 implies, let me just do this disclaimer here. Please, I'm offering you an out. If you are easily offended, or if there are children in the room, or kids, if you're trying to sneak and listen to this stuff under the covers, you don't want mom and dad catching you listening to SOS during the dark 30 hour. You'll get in big trouble. You'll get grounded.
Just listen to the podcast later.
Man pulls seven cars with rope tied around his testicles. Another warrior showing off the skills of the Kung Crotch Fu in China. Of the many things that testicles are designed for. Who wrote that? Of the many things that testicles are designed for, dragging around heavy weights is certainly not one of them. However, this hasn't stopped martial arts expert Yi Wei trying to achieve the impossible by channeling the strength of his nutsack. To prove how strong it really is, the Tai Chi master pulled seven cars with his testicles last week, much to the amazement of the crowd that had gathered to watch him in his hometown of Zibo City in China. Yi has been practicing his own brand of martial arts that focuses on inner strength, energy from his spine, as well as his testicles, which he charmingly calls his outer kidneys.
Huh.
He and others who follow him call this Kung Crotch Fu. He can be seen in footage tying a rope around his balls before heaving the linked cars backwards in a straight line. Yi triumphantly declares he has set a record by completing the feat. Yi hopes Kung Crotch Fu becomes a new competitive sport in China.
What's the most impressive thing you've ever done with your testicles?
I don't really keep a list.
I lobbed that right at you. You're supposed to say I made my kids.
Yeah.
That's why I thought you were going to go that route.
Right.
Can you do the catch and release?
Okay, you want to ask me again?
Hey, Vance, what's the most impressive thing you've ever done with your testicles?
I made my kids.
Nice. That's impressive. You made human life.
That
guy
is.
Just
That's
pulled a couple
miraculous.
Of trucks with his.
The guy I mean, pulled some trucks.
You
yeah.
made speaking humans.
Thanks, Sam.
Congratulations.
Don't you feel special?
I got the trophies to prove it.
I'll be paying for them for the rest of my life.
Oh, my goodness. Police say a woman found wet and nearly naked claiming to be a mermaid in Fresno, California. Local authorities are asking for help identifying a nearly naked woman found wandering down a Fresno, California street Tuesday morning. This is probably old news by now. Police are asking for help identifying this woman who told police she was a mermaid after they found her wandering down a Fresno street. The woman's hair was wet when she was found around 3 a.m., and she told officers that she was a mermaid and that her name was Joanna, according to the police department. She said she'd gotten washed inland and was lost and trying to find her way back out to sea after wanting to see a human city. The woman who has two webbed toes on both feet told officers that she'd been in the water but replied, "I don't know," to most questions, police said. She's 5'4", weighs about 150 pounds, brown eyes and brown hair. She was found walking down the middle of Millerton Road across from the Eagle Spring Golf and Country Club about a mile south of Table Mountain. Geographical details we probably don't need, but anyway, her fingerprints do not match any in the criminal database, nor is there any missing person report about her. She is a complete mystery. After a week of questioning, police still have no idea who this person is, and she's been placed in protective psychological custody.
You know, I find looking for chicks with webbed feet is really it's a good thing. You know, like they're good people.
Chicks with webbed feet. I knew a girl with, I can't remember.
13 fingers.
I can't remember if it was a sixth toe or only four toes, but it was a birth thing. It wasn't something, yeah. I knew a chick that was one toe off, and she was a bitch.
It had nothing to do with the
show. I've never heard you say that about somebody.
No, I've never said that about somebody, so you know it's true.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if there's any correlation between that.
I was going to say, do you think she would have been less bitchy had she had the normal amount of fingers and toes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was the bitchiness attributed to...
Anyway, back to the mermaid story. It did give me healthy, nostalgic visions of Daryl Hannah in Splash.
Did that get you aroused?
Very nice. In a teenage sort of pleasant way. Man in Drunk Drunk Lives Matter. How about that for a second? Man in Drunk Lives Matter shirt is charged with, guess what, driving drunk. In Newville, Pennsylvania, police in Pennsylvania say they arrested a man wearing a Drunk Lives Matter shirt for drunken driving. Police say a 44-year-old with a blood alcohol content of 0.217.
That's solid.
Yeah, which is about 2.5 times the state's legal limit for drivers when he was pulled over. He was wearing a green St. Patrick's Day shirt with the saying on it, Drunk Lives Matter. He is facing a list of charges, including DUI, highest rate, driving under DUI suspension, and traffic violations. And that's the end of the story. I think really that story was just meant to showcase this T-shirt slogan, Drunk Lives Matter. Actually, I think we here on Speaking of Strange have come up with much more clever T-shirt and bumper sticker slogans. Sam, the Animal Steel used to keep a running list of good.
I think I lost that in
speaking
the,
of strange
in my
slogans.
Move. I remember. There's no period after the P.
Yeah.
That's good. Might as well remind people to drop by JoshuaPWarren.com. There is no period after the P. JoshuaPWarren.com. Also HauntedAsheville.com. Josh tells me that the ghost tours, the Asheville. Haunted Asheville ghost tours are booked up, man. And he says it's dependent on the weather. If he looks at the numbers, he's down in Puerto Rico, but if he looks at the tour numbers, he can tell when we've had a rainy day. That's the only thing that may discourage participants in the walking tour is if it's been a rainy day. He says otherwise, taking a walk in the rain is not necessarily bad.
If you're prepared,
if it's really pouring down and you're listening to the spoken portion of a walking tour, the rainiest of days probably not the best. But hauntedashville.com. If you're going to do a haunted tour in Asheville, it's got to be Haunted Asheville, the original and oldest tour. All the rest are just
imitations.
Oh, my goodness. A female Uber driver has revealed how she caught her boyfriend cheating on her by driving his lover to his home. In New York City.
New York City?
New York City! Fetch the rope. The horrific tale was shared. That's an old Pace Picani ad, folks. For you youngsters, don't think fetch the rope. Is it anything other than
that? That's a t-shirt right there.
Yeah.
Speaking of strange, fetch the rope.
The horrific tale was shared on Twitter. The woman shared how she picked up the girl during one of her shifts as an Uber driver at the airport, and the woman picked her up and collected her fare, and they talked about on the drive their boyfriends, totally unaware they were discussing the same man.
What are the odds?
They told each other deep, dark secrets about their sex lives. Do women do that, Shelley? They probably should
occasionally, but they don't. They're cab drivers
with strangers, with cab drivers or bartenders or certain some
I don't
people.
Think.
Maybe some people just interact with the public more immediately. I don't know what I'm saying here. Anyway, they talked about this man and their shared secrets of their sex life, and the Uber driver drove the lover right to the apartment block, but never questioned the man at the other end would be her boyfriend. Comprehension started to dawn on the 24-year-old as they got closer to the flat. As the car pulled up to the apartments complex, the girl said she recognized her guy's car outside, and the horrific truth struck her. Unable to control her rage, she said she confronted her boyfriend and said, WTF. I'm sure she just said
I'm
the letters.
WTF.
WTF. And the new woman even tried to defend the love rat boyfriend by hitting the Uber driver. The tale ended with the Twitter user saying she drove off with the girl's luggage and is now embracing single life. Another said, if I learned anything from Uber Bay, it's that God will lead you right where you need to be when you need to be there. She isn't the only person to catch a cheating partner red-handed.
Red-handed?
No. That's hashtag Uber Bay. Hashtag Uber Bay.
You don't even know how hashtags work, do you?
No.
No.
No, you don't.
I don't. The Dark 30 here on Speaking of Strange. Let's listen to a little music from the Family Dollar Pharaohs. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Mudbush City.
Yeah, Sam Steele dredging up some rare Bob Seger. Bob Seger rocked out. A lot of people think about Turn the Page and some of the more light sort of AOR.
Bob Seger,
but he had some rocking stuff. It definitely, he's one of those Michigan dudes. We were talking about Detroit being a rocking town. Detroit Rock City, there would have been no Kiss had it not been for Bob Seger. I believe that. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
You really believe that?
I'm not a huge Kiss fan. I was just thinking Detroit Rock City, you know. Hudson, Oregon package thief leaves behind a thank you note. An Oregon woman said a thief who snatched a package from her porch left two things behind, a thank you note and a video of her face. The woman said she was at lunch Monday when she received a notification on her phone from her Ring video doorbell, which was set to alert her if anyone approached her porch. My phone got a ping, and I actually looked at the phone when it pinged and saw the image of this person coming up my stairs, and I thought it was my neighbor. She saw the woman appeared to be writing her a note, so she dismissed the notification, which stopped the video camera from recording. The woman said she only later discovered the person was not her neighbor and had apparently stolen a package delivered by UPS earlier in the day. The thief left behind a handwritten note, which read, "Hey, thank you for the package." The woman said the recording stopped before the package was taken, but she is convinced the woman in the video is the thief. Police said the woman in the footage is considered the prime suspect in the incident. The woman said the package was a $17 bottle of hair oil, which the thief kept after opening the package around the corner from her house and abandoning the box in some bushes. The boldness of this gal to just walk through broad daylight right at noon and just come up and comfortably take someone's box, thank them for it, rip it open, then litter in my neighborhood means she has the balls of a brass monkey. Criminals don't look like criminals. They look like normal people, said the founder and chief inventor of Ring Video Doorbell. They're selling magazines, raising money for school fundraisers, they say, then find an empty area, come in and rob and work the area, even if there's an alarm system. Just being able to answer the door with your voice, that creates presence and scares them away. Which the rest of the article didn't mention, but I guess that's a punchline, is that this Ring Video Doorbell, one of the responses to the ring of the door, if somebody comes up and rings your doorbell when you're not there, a voice inside says, "Just a minute," or
"Who that
there? Who that?" It's like when you're delivering pizza. Don't you like that? It's the pizza guy.
You called us like 25, 30 minutes ago.
Who is it? Surprise, it's the pizza guy. We promised we were going to draw a pizza comparison. They're the pizza parallel. That's what it's called. There's going to be a new segment here on Speaking of Strange called Pizza Parallels. There's a pizza parallel to every story.
I think that should have its own theme song. There's a pizza parallel to every story.
You just nailed it, Sam. We're just going to have to work that out. At least it's going to be a jingle.
Hey, maybe we could get Stevie Tombstone
to write the pizza parallel jingle. There's a pizza parallel to every story. Intoxicated Florida teacher accused of letting child drive her to Waffle House. We spoke with Stevie about Waffle House. Everything comes around, you know. It's a tangled web, but we only talk about, it's all one big story here on Speaking of Strange. Is this the last segment?
Yes. Yes, you got about 2 minutes.
Damn segment. Shelly, you ready with a bell?
I'm
Tampa
ready.
Police arrested a 32-year-old high school math teacher on child neglect charges for letting a 14-year-old boy drive while she was drinking. According to police, the teacher said she had 5 drinks and was too drunk to drive when she and the 14-year-old boy were pulled over at an intersection. Police say there was an open beer in the cup holder of the car as well. According to police, the teen is her boyfriend's son. And she told officers she wanted him to drive to Waffle House and she needed some nasty-ass fried food. The woman has been...
They don't really fry food there, but continue, sorry.
The woman has been a math teacher at Freedom High School for 1 week according to Hillsborough County School District spokesperson. When she is released from jail, she will be asked to meet with the District Office of Professional Standards to see if she still qualifies to be a teacher in Florida, with a D-U-H, Tampa. Yeah, I don't, well, you know what? I say better a 14-year-old boy with a little bit of experience driving without a license than a woman driving drunk to the Waffle House.
I picked up on that at the wrong time. I was reading something on my phone, and all I heard, all I got to say is better a 14-year-old boy. And I was like, where's this going, Vance? Pull it out, buddy.
Yeah, don't take those quotes out of context. She should have just ordered a pizza.
Pizza parallels, pizza parallels.
Oh, yes.
There's the pizza parallel to every story.
Thank you, Joshua P. Warren. Thank you, Brian Hall. Thank you, Mobius and the SOS Dark 30 News Team. This has been Speaking to Strange. I'm Vance Pollock. Shelley, thank you, dear, for joining us. Thanks to Stevie Tombstone. And, of course, Sam the Animal Steel. Want to do this again next week, guys?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do this.
Bam. Catch you then.